Fire WTIC 1080 News.
If a custom tailored vest asks me out for something wet, and the vet begins to pet, I cry hooray. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. I've been asked to have a meal by a big tycoon of steel. If the meal includes a deal, except I may. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. There's an oil man known as Tex, who is keen to give me checks. And his checks, I fear me, that Tex is here to stay. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way.
And I think the marriage speaks to the promises uttered to us by the governor. He's always true to us in his own fashion.
Yes, he is.
The best he can be. He's the best he can be.
Absolutely. You know, a man, I might say, after listening to some radio here today, a man who's been, actually, I think he's been picked on. He's been bullied and pushed around by the Hartford Courant and the Journal Enquirer and other newspapers. That's at least what I heard earlier today.
Yeah,
it's awful. I don't know how anybody can stand up for that kind of scrutiny.
Why did they go pick on some high-ranking official? Why this poor little guy? He's just a little guy. You know what? He's just a little guy. He can't do the things the big guys do. He's a little guy. I'll give a prize to anybody who can identify what movie that comes from. He's just a little guy. Inside, he's just a little guy. He can't do the things that the big guys do. Governor...
You clog our lines up now with people.
No one will know. The governor today was suggested anyway in the paper that he's been issuing veiled threats against some of the legislators who might presume to judge him. And his office today announced that that was not true, and there will be certainly in the future no more veiled threats. They're going to a policy of only direct threats, open threats, threats of actual physical violence. It's going to be more things like,
how are you going to impeach somebody with two broken kneecaps, huh? How much impeaching are you going to do?
Sort of like that little old lady that day. Little old lady with the...
People don't remember that, but there was this little old lady who spoke up. It was at the old State House, is my recollection. It was the Patriots, the Patriots Stadium. There was some little old lady who came in there, and she was... I think it was a press briefing, or it may have been a crony briefing.
Well, there were plenty of each.
Yeah, special crony briefing. She may have obtained some crony tags, some... bootleg crony tags to attend the crony briefing, or it might have been a press briefing. But anyway, apparently she asked some impertinent question about, like, is this a good idea, for example?
Yeah. Or,
do you really know what you're talking about? Something along those lines. And the governor's goons, the Tonton Macoot of Hartford, intervened, and she was taken downstairs. And she's never been seen.
The
body turned up at a soccer stadium in South Windsor later, 6 months later.
Slight embellishment.
Yeah. I may have actually made some of that up, but it's...
Well, you didn't make us a pride about her getting hustled out of it.
She was hustled out of there. I believe she was hustled downstairs, too, if you know what I mean. Downstairs. So anyway, there's, all of this continues to go on, and I'm not sure there's anything tremendously interesting that's new to say about all this, but we'll try to think of something. And meanwhile, there's lots of other stuff going on as well. We're going to talk to Gina Belafonte at 3:35. She's one of the fashion writers, and a very good fashion writer at that, for the New York Times. And she's been covering, this is at least the second story of hers that I've read, about what the candidates wear and why they wear what they wear. And so we're going to talk a little bit.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
We may do other things as well today. I'm not really quite sure.
All right,
we'll take some of these fine phone calls.
Yes, we will. Rick in a car. Rick.
Yeah, hey, you guys, you'll prove me innocent and hopefully we won't go to this impeachment. And the other issue I had to bring up to both you guys is, If the state of Connecticut, the people that voted him in, want him out, it's clear as day, want him out. 67%, I believe, was the latest poll. Why isn't he taking the people's poll, the people's advice who elected him into office? I just don't understand how hard-headed and thick-headed and stubborn an individual can be when people don't want you. Leave. It's time to exit. You're not leading us in the proper way.
Well, Chris, people have said that to me for years, too, and I refuse to leave. So I can kind of sympathize with that, with Governor Roland here. But even in the time that you've been on the line with us, Joe, the Roland people have dug up some stuff about you, which we'll actually be obliged to put on the air later.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, bye.
All right.
Well, you know, I don't know if you... I mean, as I say, I'm trying to be fair to Governor Roland because I love the man, frankly. But there's a limit. This is basic political hardball. I mean, this is just sort of the way it's done. And, I mean, I don't think it's not attractive, but he's always been a bully, and he's always been an intimidator. And it's one of the reasons it took them so long to screw up their courage to talk about impeachment or asking him to resign, because they knew he'd go after them with anything he could find. So, yes, if there's pictures of you with some sheep or something like that, I mean, you know, he'll buy them on eBay and, you know, wave them in your face.
Listen up, Red Sox fans, and make plans to be a...
Bruce and Colin shall return.
Now, here we have this fellow who is on regularly selling stars for $54 a pop.
Oh, man, I want in on that thing, by the way. The International Star Registry?
Yeah.
I am right now, Doris, and you might want to get in on this with me. If you've got a few extra bucks, the Bruce Stevens International Streetlight Registry. What we'll do, you send us $158, and we name a streetlight after you, and we register it with Congress. How's that sound?
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I'll send you a map, too, that shows you where your streetlight's located. For only $158...
Dodge Truck presents the Connecticut Powerboat Show, January 15th through the...
I'd rather love you, baby, than anyone else I know in town. Cause you're the nice...
Hi, Doris. Doris from Motherfield, you're on the air. Hi, Doris.
I just wanted to respond to the people who say Roland can't step down because he'd be out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
I figured out... he should have had a contingency plan in case he didn't win the election last November.
Yeah.
He made a bundle selling his Washington, D.C. condo.
Mm-hmm.
He made money on that Naugatuck land deal. So he should have been planning for his future financially. And several of his kids are not his, they're Patty's, and they might be getting child support from their father, and he could always sell that refurbished lakefront cottage. The fact that he'd be out of a job and not get a salary is no good reason for him not resigning.
Actually, I thought you were going to suggest maybe he get his realtor's license or something. You know, he's so good at flipping this property and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right, it's very possible.
He did Century 21 kind of thing.
He could do anything
or a rental agent.
Those lines.
Yeah.
If he could do anything shady, he'd think about it.
Right. Okay. Well, Doris, you're uncustomarily
shady.
For an Episcopalian. You're talking kind of tough these days.
Well, see, I haven't been to a cocktail party lately. So what do you want from me?
I think things are going to start looking up pretty soon. Thanks for calling, Doris.
All right.
Thanks.
Doris is a little militant.
Yeah, I just uncustomarily...
Well, you know, I think Roland brings out the best in people, let's be honest. You know,
I thought she was heading towards one of her little genteel points that she likes to make. But
here is Steve in the car. Steve?
Yeah, I just had a question for both of you.
Yeah.
If this was Mr. Curry... who was in the governor's seat in the same situation, would you be acting the same way? Or are you just kind of ranting and raving because it's a Republican governor and you just really hate Roland?
Well, let me say two or three things about that. I think you should use a different example because it's just so... I mean, I know Bill Curry incredibly well. This is just so far-fetched from being possible. But if it were some Democrat...
You know, for people who said Roland... Oh, no, Roland would probably say the same thing, but...
Yeah. I don't think so. Obviously, we're somewhat partisan here. I would say if we're at this level, I mean, first, there are plenty of Republicans right now who have, starting with Chris Shays and Rob Simmons, and filtering on down to the rank-and-file registered Republicans who have no trouble understanding that this guy's got to go. I don't think it is a partisan issue anymore. Now, you know, in 1994, I started referring to John Rowland as the Prince of Darkness, which he's never forgiven me for. That's how long ago I knew there was something wrong with this guy. Now, I don't call a lot of other Republican politicians by names like that. You know, I mean, there are plenty of other Republican politicians in the state who have no complaint with, you know, what I call them or how I treat them. I have had a problem with this guy pretty much from day one, yes. And as it turns out, I was not wrong.
Well, I disagree, but I think if it was your buddy and they're in the same situation, that you'd be defending him as he defended Clinton. And I think this is partisanship has to be viewed as part of this whole conversation.
Partisanship is part of it, but this has gone well beyond partisanship. I mean, look at the number of people who are from the Republican Party who are calling for this guy's resignation.
Don't get me wrong. I'm a diehard Republican, and I had a conversation this morning saying that, you know, maybe Jody Reld would be nice for a couple of years to get the whole state acclimated to her, so she would be a sitting Republican governor, so he'd keep the governorship.
Oh, yes. I mean, that's why they want to do it. And the one person who's not going to do it, the one person who is behaving selfishly in this situation is John Rowland. But, I mean, most other Republicans can figure out for Jody to have 2.5 years to look gubernatorial
I don't think he should fall on his sword yet until they, I mean, if they nail him to the wall and say, hey, you did something wrong, this is against, you know, XYZ code, you're nailed, you're gone, bye. That's one thing.
Let me ask you this, Steve. How many times do they have to nail him? I mean, so far, they nailed him on the vacation stuff. I mean, the Ethics Commission got him on that. They nailed him on the improper use of the credit card, where he was basically caught lying with that. Once again, he said he had to make restitution through, it was either the Elections Commission or the Ethics Commission. I can't remember anymore which one that was. And then this time they caught him with the Bantam Lake stuff, and he flat out lied. He couldn't have lied worse on December 2nd. And then he's had to go before the cameras. So you act like they haven't caught him, but they've caught him multiply. And he admits that he's been caught.
Stuff. This is all minutia. This is just something small to blow into a larger.
So how many thousands of dollars does it have to be before it's significant to you? I'm just curious. what's your sort of, you know, get lost number?
There is no serious threat. It's kind of like sunset. When does it happen? I know it when I see it, and I don't see it yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, give us a call when you do. Okay.
All right. 328. Here is Matt on a cell phone. Matt.
It is sort of true that not only are the presidential candidates dressing like Mr. Rogers and stuff like that, but in fact, there's sort of an overall infantilization of men's clothes. This was addressed in an accompanying article, the Gina Belafonte's article, about sort of basically how nobody has really found a casual style of dress for men that doesn't really look like they're 13 years old. I mean, I'll quote from the article. Despite everything that has been said about so-called metrosexuals, most American men still enjoy dressing the way they did before they started to shave. Spending, for instance, more than $13 billion on T-shirts annually. This may help explain why some of the major trends in menswear for fall 2004, this is at the Florence, Italy shows, some of the major trends in menswear included snowboard graphics, soccer and rugby style lad clothes, neo hip hop layering, and the sort of goofy gray denims that those with long memories still associate with Steve Martin and Dan Aykroyd as two wild and crazy guys. It sort of is true that, you know, when you look for sort of casual clothes, if you're a guy, it's kind of hard to find something that doesn't look completely like you're, you know, part of our gang or something. And I don't think Carson from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy is helping things either.
Here's Peter and Granby. Peter?
Yeah, guys, I speaking of attire, how do you think Rowland would look in stripes?
You mean like as a referee or something?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, that's what you meant. Okay. No, that's a good point.
Also, on a more serious note, what do you think of the veiled threats about releasing, the tables being turned on people that might pursue impeachment?
I think that this is simply, I think the Hartford Courant's page one today is simply giving voice to something that's been around all along, which is that everybody knows that that almost everybody has something. You know, there's a little something that they've done that they're not proud of, or that, you know, that if you looked at it the wrong way, you know, could look kind of bad and stuff like that. And everybody's known that all along, and it's one of the reasons that they've been as wimpy as they've been and as reluctant as they've been to go after this guy is because they know that he'll come back at them with anything that he's got on them. Everybody knows that. But I think it's important to say that there are matters of degree. And yes, maybe, you know, this person's done this little thing and that person's done that little thing, and maybe this person took too many lunches from lobbyists or something. That's not really what we're talking about here in the case of the governor, though. Here's Phil in West Hartford. Phil?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I guess I was just hoping to piggyback on that last gentleman's call.
Mm-hmm.
My question was, given the bullying, the pressure, the hardball politics that Roland's been playing, do you think there's any connection here between that and more Lyons being so utterly wimpy in pursuing this?
Well, you know, I mean, Moira Lyons has upped her game a little bit recently. First of all, I don't know, and I don't think it's irresponsible to speculate. I mean, you know, if there's some actual allegation that can be checked into, that's one thing, but I'm not aware of anything like that. And second of all, I think we should give, I mean, I was as critical as anybody could be of Moira Lyons, and I haven't been necessarily a big fan of hers for a lot of her career as speaker. But she's kind of upped her game a little bit recently. She's shown a little bit more leadership. And I think it probably makes sense to, you know, to give her a little room to operate here and see what she and the other Democrats can do. I mean, they were pathetic for weeks and weeks and weeks. You know, suddenly it's like they finally steeled their spines and sucked it up, and they're going to give it a try. And maybe the best thing to do is to give them some room to do that.
Here is Floyd in a car. Floyd?
Hi. There's two things. One, I'd like to thank Gina for giving me a laugh by using Gravitas and Joe Lieberman in the same sentence. And secondly, the call you had right before the news from a Republican who was staunchly supporting Roland. I'm a Republican, and I look at Roland, and as far as I'm concerned, he's done enough that we should be getting rid of him. And his call was for something big. Well, Roland also lied, and Colin, I'm surprised you forgot this. He lied about his involvement with Kenway and Enron for that.
Well, if we'd had more time, I would have gotten to that. And that's a big one. That's $220 million. Now, did his lie constitute a $220 million malfeasance? No, he lied about some of the minor aspects of it. But, yes, there's plenty of other instances, too.
Good.
I think it's thick suddenly, I'm just saying. The in the A section of the New York Times today, I would like to just briefly mention, because
turning to it now, are we?
Yes. Science pleases me. And I'm also kind of attracted by the fact that so many experiments seem like things that kids in my neighborhood did when I was growing up. So they did find this subatomic pudding in matter. And basically the way that it works is the nucleus of an atom basically is protons and neutrons. But each proton and each neutron contains a certain number of subatomic particles, as you probably know, or sub-subatomic particles, really. This means mainly quarks. You get three quarks, although sometimes there can be some extra quarks. But basically,
that would be bonus quarks?
Bonus quarks, yes. You must have some background in physics. I'm amazed.
I'm amazed that you knew about bonus quarks.
So you have some bonus quarks, as you say, but basically three quarks, and then there's a handful of gluons, and gluons actually sort of are thought to be the things that kind of keep the particle together. But what happened was when they did this experiment at the Brookhaven Relativistic Heavy Ion Collider, where I vacationed there a couple of years ago. And what they did basically was they took heavy hydrogen, atoms of heavy hydrogen, and they sped it up to the speed of light, I believe, and they slammed those atoms into gold at nearly the speed of light.
And what did they get?
And they, by the way, I just want to say Jimmy and Randy Marsh on Grenland Road when I was growing up, they did that too. They took heavy hydrogen and they slammed it into gold at the speed of light so that they could observe the spray of particles that flew out.
Did they do this in the basement or was it in the garage?
They do it in their next door neighbor's mailbox, actually, now that I think of it. But and actually, you know what happened? Time slowed down for a while.
You know.
The Marsh brothers would often do things that would cause time to slow down, and it was a problem in the neighborhood. No, but isn't it true that every neighborhood does have, like, mad scientist kids? Did your neighborhood have this? Well, you were a trapper. You were a fur trader.
No, I wasn't a trapper. We did have mad scientists. My cousin has a doctorate, actually, in physics.
Yeah.
And he was one of the group that I was kind of hanging out with.
Yeah. Does he work at Brookhaven now? Is he part of the
building? I don't know where he is.
Anyway, what they...
Some university someplace.
What they found out is that if you do things, if you move some of this matter up to the speed of light, or near the speed of light, It turns into pudding.
Did you get that from Bill Cosby?
Well, no, that's what Jello it says. I think there is an opportunity for some kind of food product here, but instead of being particulate, it turns into a bizarre kind of subatomic pudding. And the finding was described by some scientists as a breakthrough in understanding the powerful, immensely complex forces that hold together the building blocks of atomic nuclei, protons and neutrons.
But see, the thing is, you talk about this, not that you've assigned any particular value to it, but you talk about it like it's something that we could see. I mean, it's so small.
True. But it's important to know that, that at certain speeds, even the little tiny specks that compose other specks that compose other specks can turn into pudding. Because the big question
it's
is like...
small pudding, though.
The question is
you
why...
You need a lot of those to yeah. fill you up.
The question really is what holds everything together? And I think to this day, scientists don't know what holds everything together. In other words, if everything's made up of little tiny things, why doesn't it all just sort of fall apart? You know, what holds it all together?
It does have a...
Yeah.
It does have a particular...
Why do you continue to maintain the shape of Bruce Stevens? Why don't you just dissolve into dust? And
some people have suggested that, actually.
Yeah. Anyway, I just point that out, basically. I can't really say that I learned anything about that, but anything from this, but... It does sort of strike me that they really don't know what they're talking about yet. That if, in fact, everything could be pudding.
Well, yeah, but they are talking about it. I mean, that's...
Yeah. I'm glad they continue to investigate this stuff. Because if everything is pudding, I would want to know about that. It might affect my planning. And now, possibly using a subatomic pudding theory, as Bill Pierce reported, the people at Subaru are pulling a fast one. I happen to drive an Outback station wagon, but they're turning their Outback into a truck, although it's not going to look anything like a truck. But they're going to make it walk like a truck and quack like a truck and swim like a truck. So it'll basically be a truck. And the reason for doing that is to avoid all the federal standards. Light trucks are not bound by the same fuel efficiency standards as passenger cars are. So if you can basically reclassify something as a truck, you get out of all these standards, particularly these rather ferocious ones that kick in, I believe, in 2005 models. The light trucks will have to average only 21.2 miles a gallon, but the entire fleet of passenger cars for any automaker must average 27.5 miles a gallon. So Subaru's way of dealing with that is to take the Outback, which many of us drive, many of us lesbians drive the Subaru, and they're turning it into a truck, but it's not going to look like a truck.
I did see one other guy
the
other day driving one just exactly like yours.
Right.
I thought it was you.
He was probably a lesbian, too, actually.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But caught my attention on it.
For tax purposes, I'm a Navajo lesbian. I get certain write-offs that way.
wait a minute. Why a...
There's certain rituals I could do in my living room. Navajo and Hopi lesbian rituals are actually tax deductible. And if I use my Subaru Outback to go to and from them...
Write that off, too?
Exactly. I can appreciate it. Art from Newington would like to say something about something.
We don't have a lot of time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, why don't we just wait until after the break? Art's got nothing to do.
Probably not.
Yeah, he's just a brain floating in saline solution. He can wait.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Steve in the car. Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Bruce and Colin. Thanks for taking my call. I had something to contribute to your pudding conversation in regards to subatomic particles.
Yeah.
Wanted to make you folks aware that whenever you try to accelerate any object, whether it's subatomic particle or otherwise, to the speed of light, as you add energy in order to do that, okay, more and more of the energy you add goes into actually increasing the mass of the item.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mass manifests itself in various subatomic particles. So one of the reasons that any given stuff or a subatomic particle kind of becomes more like a pudding is because you're effectively adding more subatomic particles to whatever it is.
Is this the only way you can increase the mass of something, right? Because mass otherwise
effectively,
is...
Effectively, yes. Yeah. Adding energy beyond a certain point goes so much more to mass than to additional velocity that it's kind of like increasing the mass. The problem is this only works in the subatomic world from a practical perspective, simply because we haven't been able to accelerate anything with any, you know, sizable amount of mass, like a golf ball, anywhere near that speed.
Right. Because This is something that I learned recently, that mass basically functions as a constant. Unless you do something like that, mass doesn't change. The mass of something on the moon is the same as the mass of something here, because mass is just how much stuff there is of something.
Right, because, you know, and when you add energy to something that isn't much stuff to begin with, it really doesn't have much more choice than to become mass.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're brilliant.
I thought I'd provide that for you guys.
Thank you. Thanks
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
I think it's information that our listeners can use, too, use in their daily lives.
See, now that's a scientist. Not like that bogus guy you had.
John the Scientist?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to John the Scientist? I think you drove him away. I think you hurt his feelings.
This guy was a scientist.
My understanding is that John can't even function anymore.
Well,
he's no longer
bad.
Functioning as a crackpot. He's not even a functioning crackpot anymore.
I can't be held responsible for that kind of stuff for everything, you know?
He actually failed to renew his crank license this year.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
Information typically found in almanacs that could be useful for terrorists includes profiles of cities and states and information about waterways, bridges, dams, reservoirs, tunnels, buildings, and landmarks. So, like, they're going to blow up the Hoover Dam, so they're going to look that up in an almanac?
It's an encyclopedia.
It doesn't seem like the level of sophistication that I associate with Al-Qaeda, you know? What state is Hoover Dam in? Check almanac.
Ahmed, what is capital of Nebraska? Who won Best Picture Oscar in 1955? Marty!
Graziano?
Say a brief word about my hair. What's that? I'd like to say a brief word about my hair today. I've been told that I need to get my hair to move. I need movement. I need flow. My hair doesn't flow.
You need to make it move?
Yeah, I don't
like
know if it has
out of state or what?
I don't know if this has anything to do with this whole idea of, we were talking about before about conservation of mass and the fact that,
it's really hard to tell what the deal is with your hair.
Yeah.
With those headphones.
Yeah, see, here's... But the whole idea, I've been told that it needs to flow, that it needs to move.
Was this your stylist that told you this?
A stylist and an image consultant have both said that to me, yeah. My hair...
Image consultant.
Yeah, my hair doesn't flow. It doesn't move.
I see.
Yeah.
I think your hair looks pretty spunky, actually.
I'm not sure that this has anything to do with, like, kinetic energy, you know, or rest mass energy. I'm not sure this is a physics problem. It may be simply a style problem. But
flow?
At the moment, there's no movement in my hair. There's no flow.
Well, I guess I don't understand.
I don't either. I'm just saying this.
It's like the wind's supposed to blow on it or something and make it move?
No, I don't think so. I think it's supposed to do it like by itself. I think if you do that, if you
look at it, it kind of looks like it's moving.
It's a good point. But I think if you bring a little fan around with you all the time, that's cheating.
That probably wouldn't work.
No, your hair's supposed to just flow.
It's supposed to look like it's got that flow to it.
It needs movement, yeah.
Well, I think it looks pretty good the way it is.
It's very static, though.
It's
a matter of some concern to me. I mean, I know, you know, these people...
Why do I?
Yeah. I know the people in Sierra Leone think they have bigger problems. But
what kind of
I get up every morning and I think my hair doesn't flow.
What shampoo do we use?
Well, I'm making a shift because my stylist told me that if you're going to shampoo every day, you really have to use like baby shampoo or something like that. It turns out dirty hair is better. Dirty is good.
What?
Dirty is good.
Why cleaning. Is dirty good?
It just is.
How could I not go? I couldn't.
Your hair flow. You get more movement with dirty hair.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's got like critters like living
exactly.
in it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're
making
around.
It move around.
Yeah, they're rustling.
So you use a conditioner?
No. But he taught me how to mix gel with hand cream to get more flow and dirtiness.
God almighty.
Let me tell you something. I'm living in a house of mirrors these days. I'm living in it's difficult.
You know, I think you're right.
I'm under so much pressure right now about my hair. It's amazing I can do this show. Anyway, let's take some calls.
All right. Okay, here we go. John?
Yes, hello, my friends. I wanted to call and say that was a great article by Tom Scott in the Hartford Courant on Sunday.
Here's Joy in a car. This we need right now.
All right. Hello, Joy.
Hi, Bruce and Colin. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year yourself.
Hey, Bruce, I met Colin before Christmas, and he's just as hot in person as he is on the air.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Hey, you know what? I wanted to mention something about space.
All right.
Colin was talking about that earlier. You want to talk about something other than the pig that's in office right now?
Yeah.
Lost in Space is coming out on DVD, all 29 episodes. I highly recommend everybody buy it.
Well, actually, it's appropriate because actually I sort of thought that Governor Roland's first apology speech, the one, I forget which one, what the date of that was.
Kind of hard to get them mixed up after a while.
But it did sort of appear to have been, not the one that he gave on TV, but the one, not the primetime one or the 6 o'clock one, but the one before that. It did seem to have certain elements of Dr. Smith from Lost in Space, you know?
I thought he's more like the robot, you know? He doesn't compute.
Danger. All right. Well, thanks.
Love you guys.
Thanks
have
for calling, Joy.
And
thanks for the
Bye.
Lovely compliment.
Bye-bye. It's just hot in person.
Is that, yeah,
as you are on the radio.
If you really analyze, if you parse that comment, it might not be that big a compliment. Just as hot in person as I am on the radio. It could be a nice thing to say.
It all depends on, I guess, how you're looking at it.
It could be damning with faint praise, as they say.
In the world of the NBA, Washington Wizards forward Christian Laettner has been suspended for 5 games for violating the NBA's illegal substance policy. We believe it may be an unsanctioned moose. It's time for Sports Antoine, a very French sports. I'm sort of into hair product these days. The very French sports discussion segment with Monsieur Ronaldine, Michel Bruce Stevens, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
Have you seen him lately, by the way? I mean,
Merry marriage, why you bugging? Merry marriage, I need you hugging.
Hi.
What?
Hey, listen.
What?
Fellas.
What?
I want to tell you that you're very deceitful.
What?
I'm
what?
What? And you're not on at all.
What?
You people are having a great time over there joking about what you've done.
What?
Ruining people's careers.
What?
And you have not got yourselves on the air.
What?
Now, come clean, will you please?
What?
Put me on.
You're on the air.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I've been listening to WTIC, and you haven't said one word.
About what?
There's been everything else on but you.
What?
You and your little conversation with Art Darlington.
What?
Oh, yeah. You were so filthy the way you were talking.
What?
Have we gone over the edge here today or what?
No, you are.
What are you talking about?
You're very deceitful.
What are you talking about? We're not deceitful. What are you talking about?
What?
You know what I'm talking about.
No, we don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. Dumbbells.
Dumbbells?
That's not nice. Mary, what's gotten into you?
You had a man on the West Hartford who was very intelligent.
Yes.
And did you let him be on the air?
Yes, he was on the air for half an hour.
Well, I'm wondering if you ever heard him, because I didn't hear him on the air. I happened to call him, and I heard you, and I heard the whole conversation.
What do you mean you didn't hear him on the air?
He was on the air.
Where else would you have heard him?
We're not on the air.
In a parking lot? What do you mean we're not on the air?
Of course we're on the air.
Because you've had everything else on. I've listened to it.
This is like a Pirandello player.
No, I'm sorry.
Are you telling me that we're not on the air right now?
Listen, you're taping, but there's a delay to broadcast, apparently.
No, there's not.
So you always put people on that you want to be on.
Oh.
I know you are. Because I've been listening.
Did we take too many of the little purple pills today?
I think I took too many.
I want to tell you something. Yeah. Listen to Coast and listen to find out about what's going on with the mad cow disease.
All right, what's
That's
going
what
on?
That's what I called about.
I think we know what's going on with the mad cow disease.
Oh, no, you don't.
Right.
No, you do not.
I think somebody had too many hamburgers this weekend.
Oh, no, you don't. And you're eating hamburgers that's been filled with all...
I think somebody ate too many cow spines.
And also, another thing...
Do we have to go? Are we on?
Oh, yeah.
I think we probably got an extra minute for
that. Yale, what a joke. What a joke.
What's a joke?
You never graduated from Yale. I know you did.
No.
And
well,
did,
no, I, no, I didn't. I graduated from a place very much like Yale. I graduated
I
from a place that rhymes with Yale.
You're a disgrace.
What?
That's all you are. Huh? And what you've done to Rowan, I think you
wait, wait. Just a minute. What we've done to Rowan?
Equal people.
Yeah, what do we do to Rowan?
What do we do to Rowan?
If you read the Bible, you'd read, "He who cast the first stone without sin."
No, it's
did you ever hear that one?
Actually, that's not how it goes. It goes, that he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Run now, Paul, run. And I've never read your book. Somebody gave it to me. I wouldn't read it. Okay?
Oh, man, there go those sales.
There's your goodbye.
All right. See ya.
Boy.
Have a lovely
somebody
night.
Ever get up on the wrong
we're
side of
the
bed
air?
This morning?
If you got any pills, man, you
mean, wait a minute. I did all this work and we're not on the air?
What?
I suffered through
what
the last
happened
tour.
There?
If she's right about that. Boy, I'm going to go down and yell at Suzanne.
Okay.
That was a phone call from last week, but we treasure it so much, we really felt that we had to share it with you one more time. And I don't think I've ever had a phone call commented on by so many different people.
Because you've never had a phone call quite like that.
Yeah, well, it turns out that that phone call was on the air anyway, because, despite what she says, because everybody heard. but it was special. And you know what?
Touching.
I love stuff like that. I mean, that's exactly why I love talk radio, because of insanity like that. I mean, I can't have enough of it.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
No, I really do. I mean, you know, if we had three phone calls like that per show, I'd be.
Well,
I mean, not exactly like that, obviously, but you know, that's why we live for Lillian the Puppet Lady and JP the Doomsday Economist and JC the psychotic psycho killer cab driver, and you know, I mean.
And the list just goes on.
Those
and on.
Are that's our bread and butter, you know.
To reel all night long, got to reel like you feel all night long, got to love me pretty baby till the sun comes up at dawn. Baby, you're so beautiful, but you're gonna cry one day. I said you're so beautiful, but you're gonna cry one day. So bad for treating me this way. You gotta wail, got to roll all night long, got to move, got to rock all night long, got to roll, got to reel all night long, got to reel what you feel all night long.
I wish somebody could walk in here and just see.
You see me dancing?
What's going on?
It's a good sign that I'm dancing. You know, because I feel like I've been sort of circling the drain emotionally all day.
Really?
But I think Bobby Darin might have just brought
me that impression.
I felt this like since this morning. I felt a little blue, a little glum.
And you know, I've been kind of
a vertiginous spiral that begins to suck you downwards.
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
I'm getting sucked downward.
But Bobby Darin may have just broken me out of it.
Well, he didn't do anything for me.
Mm.
Guess what we have?
What's that?
While you were dancing and having fun,
yeah.
I'm listening to 47,000 orders being given to me by the next room here. Give this away. Do that. Talk to this guy. He's called 18 times.
So this is about the boat show?
Yeah.
Now you're going to be appearing at this boat show, right?
Yes, I am.
What's the date of that?
That would be this Sunday.
This Sunday?
Yeah.
This Sunday?
Yeah.
This coming Sunday?
Right.
The 18th, maybe? Is that
That'd
what
be
it is?
It, yeah. 11 to 1.
That's Tuesday, Ark.
You know, I can't. What you don't understand is I still have a problem with my throat. And every time I do anything like that, fooling around, it makes me cough.
Captain Bruce, welcoming you aboard. Prepare to walk the plank, mateys.
Is that kind of thing?
You know, you have him in there laughing. You see? All right.
I think that's what they're looking for.
The first person to call.
First person to call?
1-800-953-1080.
Yeah, don't call. Well, our talk lines are full anyway. Yeah. So call 1-800-953-1080.
You win four.
We have a winner. We have a winner. We have a winner. Don't call anymore. We have a winner.
You win four passes to the Connecticut Powerboat Show.
Right.
And you get a shot at this boat we're giving away.
Chance to meet you, too.
Whoopee.
Chance for you and three of your friends to meet Captain Bruce.
Tracker Grizzly, 25-horsepower Mercury motor, trailer star trailer courtesy of Lewis Marine, Connecticut Powerboat Show, and WTIC. You know who I get to spend 2 hours with that day?
Who?
Wacky Tristano, the marketing guy.
Oh, man. See, I did one of those recently, and I got to spend 2 hours with the lovely Jody Lerner.
Well, the lovely Salma will be there, too,
in
our sales department. But, I mean, I could be, like, screaming by the time 1 o'clock rolls around.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, so that's
it's time to lift our scuppers and heave off and heave to. Prepare to come about. Hard a lee, Ensign Tristano.
Is that kind of thing?
Are you done now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get you in the mood.
I'm in the mood. I just can't do that
because
I start to cough every time I fool around
with
it.
That's good, though, because like, that's very authentic because it's very master and committed because a lot of them had those kinds of respiratory problems. Mucus was a big problem in the old British.
Great. Thing. Lovely.
Rum sodomy in the lash.
I believe that's the theme for this year's...
I'm just counting the minutes now for this to happen.
That's the theme for this year's Powerboat Show. Rum sodomy in the lash.
Uh-huh.
All right, time to
I'm sure they're happy to know that.
We've got some fine callers here.
Yes, we certainly do.
Do we ever.
I think we should go right to Steve.
Ooh. Ooh.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Fine.
Listen, not for nothing,
but
where does the allegation affect me as a taxpayer?
Well,
Okay, there's no question about which call we're thinking. Yeah. Of course, we have a number of calls here, but
we're going to Joey.
Joey from Sandersfield, Massachusetts. Hi, Joey.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Bruce calling?
Yeah. How are you?
You there?
Yeah. We're here.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
I called about a year ago, and Colin told me that I saw the grid of light.
Yeah.
Because I said I had no computer, and I probably think there's something wrong, and you hung up on me. I hung up on you. But whatever. Today's my birthday. I'm 50 years old, Colin. I think I'm older than you.
Yeah, a little bit. All right.
That woman that you played from last week?
Yeah.
In a mental case. Is the reason why I'm calling you.
Yes.
Because I think of it. Now, you said that I don't care about that governor rolling on. I don't vote.
You don't?
But, no, I don't vote. I don't.
All right.
Remember I told you live in a hunting cabin?
You live in a hunting cabin.
I have no running water.
That's right.
No computer.
That's right. And you poop in the woods,
said,
right?
You don't have a phone. I said,
right.
I'm on my neighbor's phone.
Yeah.
But now I have a phone.
Yeah.
So I've graduated.
And you live where you want, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
What's the other reason why I called you?
Yeah.
I told you it was my birthday.
Yeah.
And well, happy birthday, Joey. And how are you celebrating today?
Drinking Jim Beam and Michelob Light.
And eating some kind of animal that you recently caught, I would assume.
No, it's not funny. No, actually, I have deer meat in the refrigerator.
How did I know?
No, listen, I think it's funny.
Yeah. No, I think
Every
it's great. You're off the grid.
Like the scoop at Rush Limbaugh.
You're off the grid.
I can't stand that guy.
I'm glad you're off the grid. I'm glad we have a listener who's off the grid. How is it? Do you feel good off the grid?
You know, I actually look forward to listening to you guys. You guys are the best. Talk show on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, love you guys.
It's further proof that you're off the grid. You can't find anything better than this.
So how's your hair?
My hair is still not moving that well. But you're a man of the woods. You don't care about that. You're living that whole Ted Kaczynski reality where you're out
there.
You
know we're in Sandersfield, Massachusetts.
Burying your...
I do, yeah.
Yes,
but you
do.
Don't.
Yeah.
We
do. I don't?
Yeah.
But you lied.
This call isn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be. Anyway, it's been great talking to you.
Well,
and...
What do you mean I lied?
Yeah.
I know where it is. Don't you?
Yes, but I thought he was going to be more fun than that.
Well,
no. But he's got a lot of nerve criticizing Mary for her lack of touch with reality. I mean, he's pretty much wired into his own. But we like that. We like callers who are in touch with a different reality. That's what talk radio is all about.
Here's a Joe in a car. Joe.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about, you know, first of all, I'd like to comment on a previous call relative to the Roland situation.
Okay.
As a former employee at DPW myself,
mm-hmm.
I was personally asked to sign off on engineering contract at triple the cost of what the other two bidders were.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I refused, I was terminated.
Mm-hmm.
There simply is a favored contractors list. They do stack the selection panels. They stack the selection panels with unqualified individuals, people that have no training in the required disciplines, architecture, engineering, construction, so on and so forth. There's people on that panel, personnel director, an info technology worker, secretary, security people. And it's a big sham.
People they can control.
Huh?
People that they can control.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's coming directly from the governor's office. And the AG... The Attorney General investigated a situation with the Board of Ed Services for the Blind job and found criminal wrongdoing. Turns it over to the Chief State's Attorney, and nothing is done. It's been 3 years. 2-week suspensions for a Deputy Commissioner and that chubby-faced mysteriac over there.
Well, that was before they had this corruption and fraud unit. I'm sure the state's chief of state's attorney's office, I'm sure they take this stuff a lot more seriously now, right?
Well, why did they wait four years? The problem is...
I'm kidding. I don't think they take it seriously.
I want to get this in.
Yeah, go ahead.
The problem is, before you go off the air, the problem is that there are a lot of good people. There are a lot of wonderful, talented state employees, and they're afraid to do their jobs to the best of their ability under this administration. People don't come forward because they're not protected by the agencies whose duty it is to protect us. Ethics, auditors, AG. They don't do it.
I would agree with everything that you just said, and I mean, I don't know. Was it an argument that was made during the last political campaign and nobody really wanted to listen to it? But, we're living out the reality of it now. Thanks very much for your phone call. We'd like to thank our very fine producer, Mr. Bobby Sherwood, and everybody else who helped out with today's show, including our guest whose name I forgot. It was always Gina Belafonte from the New York Times.
That's it.